2021 is looking up, which means there should be plenty of new opportunities for you to grow your business. Whether you're shifting business hours or hiring more remote employees, one thing that remains unchanged is the importance of having the right people on your team. When you're ready to make that next hire, LinkedIn Jobs can help by matching your role with qualified candidates so that you can find the right person quickly. And to lend a helping hand, your first job post is free. LinkedIn is an active community of professionals with more than 30 million members in the UK. And now you can do this all from your mobile device, no matter where the day takes you. That's how LinkedIn Jobs can help you hire the right person faster. When your business is ready to make that next hire, find the right person with LinkedIn Jobs. And now you can post a job for free. Just visit linkedin.com/reach. Again, that's linkedin.com/reach to post a job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Megan, I missed you last week.
I know. I had to have Hannah and Paige from Summer House come in and fill your role while you were out doing God knows what.
Well, what did you crazy girls get into while I was gone?
I grilled them about a lot of stuff in terms of filming Summer House this season. And I feel like Hannah got super heated, you know, understandably when the Luke discussion came up.
I mean, of course. So I know we are going to recap this week's Summer House later on, but I have to say, I don't know if Hannah and Luke were truly in a relationship, but they were definitely in a situationship for sure.
Wait, did you coin that? Because I've never heard that before, but I like it.
I would love to take credit for it, but no, the internet has birthed that one. So it's essentially just like a situation you are in with someone where there's not this clear boundary or this clear line of we are in a relationship, we are together, you are my boyfriend, you are my girlfriend, whatever it may be, partner. And I think that is the point Luke's trying to make, but I don't know, we'll get into it. I know there's a lot to unpack and I'm a little confused, to be honest.
Thankfully, you were around when we recorded a special bonus episode completely dedicated to my obsession with Temptation Island, which is on the USA Network. Season 3 premiered this week on USA, and I spent a whole bonus episode telling Eric why he needs to watch it, plus had an interview with host Mark L. Wahlberg. So you guys need to check that out.
I will say, if, you know, podcasting doesn't work out, I think you might have a career in, like, law. And, you know, you really convinced me. Your arguments were pretty good.
Thank you.
Okay, so I know we're talking Summer House, but what else are we recapping today?
Real Housewife of New Jersey premiere. Plus Real Housewives of Salt Lake City reunion part 2.
Oh my God, there's a lot to discuss there. Plus, I interviewed Real Housewives of New Jersey's Dolores Catania all about the premiere. Also, we were recently guests on a podcast, Mixing with Mani, and talked about all the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City reunion. It was super fun, so be sure to check that out. Okay, let's start with Jersey.
First of all, I'm super glad it's back.
Yes, 100%. I feel like we've been waiting a long time for this, in a way.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I recently said this when we went on a different podcast, Mixing with Mani, but that I felt like what I love about this season, the bit that I've watched so far, because I've gotten a few episodes in, and I just love that COVID is a thing, yes. We are in a pandemic, but we're not spending a ton of time talking about it.
Yeah.
So it really, we're still getting that escape that I feel like Jersey usually is for me.
Right. It's present, but it's not a main storyline, which we have seen on some of our other shows recently. So this is a very pleasant escape from our everyday.
Yeah.
Well, I just have to start by saying I honestly and truly do not think that Evan is stupid enough to cheat on Jackie. And you know how I feel about Evan. I've had a crush on him since day one. But I just don't think that he would be dumb enough to do that knowing that they are on a reality show. Is he a man and could he potentially, you know, get into some misbehavior? Of course, any man could. But I don't think he's dumb enough to do it. What do you think?
I think the thing is that you never know, you know, like, and that's why bringing it up at all is so dangerous because
yeah,
Teresa is planting a seed in all of our minds that it is possible. That's just what's so terrible about an accusation like that.
I heard that Eminem does stuff at the gym.
Like, what kind of stuff?
Like, when he goes to the gym, he screws around.
Well, my real question about the rumor is, at the gym, as in literally at the gym, or he just says he's going to the gym and that's when he's doing it? Because I think there are implications either way. I guess we should probably unpack, why would Teresa bring this up at his own birthday party?
I mean, I was also a little confused, but you know, so much has happened, so much time has passed, and I forgot, but when they showed the flashback of Jackie talking about Teresa and saying stuff about, like, well, Joe went to prison, so you can, you know, of course Teresa, like, has been seen with this guy. Jackie has talked about Teresa, and Teresa has not forgotten about that, and I feel like this was her way of getting back at her.
Yeah, and I think with Teresa, too, she had a few drinks. She probably hasn't seen everybody in a while because it has been COVID. She most certainly hasn't filmed or seen Jackie since probably reunion. So this very well could be something that she did hear a long time ago. And then she's at the party, she has a few tequila shots or whatever, and then she's like, oh yeah, I forgot about this thing that I heard. And then she just starts bouncing around and letting everybody know, or trying to find out what everyone else might know about this rumor.
We know that they don't engage in oral sex. I'm just going to put that out there. Like, that is alarming to me. Alarming. I'm not being dramatic. It is alarming to me that they are not having that.
Right. There must be other things that they do, right? Outside of just like P and V, there has to be some diversity in the bedroom if there's no oral sex involved.
Like an H on the D?
A what? Okay, wait, no, I think I put it together. Well, probably. I would hope at least an H on the D and an F in the V or something. Like, there's got to be, if there's no mouth action, there's got to be other digits and things.
But yeah, I feel like when you put that out, first of all, who would admit that? They are very gutsy to say that. I think you're absolutely opening your marriage up to speculation.
Yeah. Yeah, she did put that out there. And not to say that someone should take that and run with it, but it doesn't, like you said, prove very well towards their marriage. Like, that's something that somebody could easily identify as like a weak point. Some people might identify that as a weakness in their relationship.
Speaking of relationships, what are you feeling about Dolores and David?
You know, it's so interesting because I spoke with Dolores, and you guys will hear that interview later on in the episode. I'm kind of okay with it. I'm team Dolores in that if it works for you, then work it and let it be what it is. I think we don't really know David as well as I would like to, but Dolores says something really interesting in the interview where she basically says that she thinks David loves her more than he even realizes.
Oh.
And I loved hearing that. And I told her I wanted to watch the rest of this season through that lens. So I think that's something important to pay attention to. But it's very obvious that he is invested in her. He's invested in her family. I mean, Frankie is living with David so that he can focus on his studies. And David has a lot to offer. And I think Dolores recognizes that. But she does value her independence and her life the way it is, her relationship with her ex, Frank. It's just sort of like, if it works, then let's just let it be the way it is, you know?
Yeah. I guess I'm just confused about why all the other ladies have such an issue with it. Like, are they seeing something that we're not seeing? I mean, yes, he didn't propose, so I guess that could be a red flag, but also at their age, like, is it necessary? I don't know.
Right. There is a lot of the old school mentality we hear often on this show about traditional relationships and the way things are supposed to be or the way things that used to be. And Dolores, as old school as she is in many ways, doesn't really fall under that category so much in the way that her relationships are now and the way that her life is now. So it is kind of interesting, that balance between, we're old school Italian and this is how we do it, versus Dolores kind of paving her own way in terms of how she's going to live her life and be in these relationships.
Yeah. Although, I mean, she's clearly the most traditional to be like, I'm not moving into his house without a commitment.
That's true. Yeah. She's traditional in like her own terms.
Yeah. Okay, should we get to the Jackie and Teresa confrontation?
I think we should.
I see that you wrote this, and I think it's true. It's smart that Jackie was like, let's just do this in a neutral place. Like, we won't do it at my house, and we won't do it at Teresa's yes. house. We'll do it at Margaret's house, because then neither of us has a stronger footing. Neither of us can, like, kick the other one out. Like, you know, I think that was a good way to do it.
Well, right. And also, I'm not sure if Jackie is this calculating, but did she plan to say what she said, knowing that would strike a nerve with Teresa, and she picked a neutral territory to avoid a table flip, so to speak? Do you know what I mean? Like, not even was it just at nobody's house. It wasn't in public.
That's a great point, because, okay, so Jackie is saying to Teresa, well, first she gives her the out. Just say that you have no basis for this rumor and it's over.
Yeah.
Like, crying, you know, like, you're really hurting my family. Just say that it's not true. And Teresa's like, well, I really couldn't say it's not true, you know, and which is kind of a really dick thing to do. And then for Jackie to say, it's like me saying, I've heard rumors that Gia does coke in the bathroom at parties, but I have never thought about it this way, but when you say it, it brings it up for me. Did Jackie already have that in her back pocket? Did she know that that was the analogy she was going to make?
Okay, well, you know what? I heard that Gia snorts coke in the bathroom at parties, okay? I heard it.
I don't know. It's something we may never know, and I have watched further ahead this season as well, and that particular notion doesn't really come up. What Jackie was trying to do was make an analogy, but I think the way she presented it was not the way to get through to Teresa, because you say Gia, and no matter what comes after that,
right,
Teresa's going to go red, and she's going to completely disconnect from whatever's happening, and that is just not the way to find a resolution at all with her. But I don't know.
But it is infuriating because, okay, for Teresa to get that upset, you're not the only one whose family is being questioned right yeah. now. And by the way, she wasn't really questioning Gia. It's just an analogy. But the fact that Teresa, like, called her the C word 50 times.
Roughly.
You know, in a row. It's like, Teresa, you're not the only one who's allowed to ever feel anything.
Yeah.
You hurt someone and you never... She just never takes responsibility, in my opinion, for hurting people.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I am fully behind Jackie in this situation, in that I feel bad for her. This is so wrong. The damage is done. She really needs Teresa to walk back on this rumor, which Teresa doesn't. But Jackie also gets kind of maniacal towards the end of that showdown when Teresa's about to storm out and Jackie's just repeating over and over, I won, I won. Like, that doesn't look very good for Jackie in terms of what she was trying to do. And if you're just going to keep pushing that, Teresa's never going to be receptive to anything else that you have to say. But does Jackie need to tiptoe around Teresa because of the way she reacts to things? It's a little bit like Jen Shah on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. You know, Teresa's reaction is
yeah.
within her control. And same with Jen. You know, whatever Jackie says or does, Teresa needs to be the one to control how she reacts to it. It's not up to Jackie to, you know, regulate that.
Do you think it means anything that Jackie was so upset about this rumor? You know, because some people say, why would you get so upset?
I don't think it means anything other than... she did not see it coming. She
yeah.
didn't expect it to be the very first thing. I mean, the very first event that they all film at for the season. And this is yeah. what comes out of it. And Jackie's like, oh, shit. Like, is this going to be the storyline for me and my family the whole rest of this season? Like,
yeah.
damn. Like, I don't blame her for getting as upset as she did. I don't think it's a sign of anything necessarily, but it's just with coronavirus and just the way of the world at this time last year, I can understand why Jackie would just take it so personally and feel so bad for not just Evan, but her whole family, because the kids are going to hear it at some point. You know, it just, it has such a ripple effect that I don't think Teresa is really thinking about.
Right.
Even though she should, because she's kind of been there.
For sure.
Poor Margaret, too, just having anxiety in the other room. Like, oh my God, they're fighting. Oh my God, what do I do?
What happened?
Her. She's
what
a happened? She what brought happened? Up my daughter. What she's happened? A f***ing
What happened? What happened?
I love Margaret.
I love Margaret. I'm glad she's back in our lives.
So I got the chance to speak with Dolores Catania from Real Housewives of New Jersey. We talked about the showdown between Teresa and Jackie, her tiff with David over all the work that she's had done, and what we can expect from the Lake George trip and the rest of the season. Here's that interview. All right, guys, we are here with Dolores Catania from Real Housewives of New Jersey. Hey, Dolores.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So nice to hear your voice. Oh, I miss everyone.
I know. I wish we were together in person.
I know. Well, we will be.
Soon. I mean, it's also winter. Nobody wants to leave their house at this point anyway, so it's fine.
Exactly. Like, me and my dogs are just sitting here staring at each other.
Well, okay. So whose house are you in right now? Because when this season starts, like, you're living with Frank, Frankie's living with David. People are all over the place.
I know, right? It's, God, I'm by myself at the infamous Shore house right now.
Okay.
And it's, you know, living alone. So because the house up north is being renovated, because I'm stay tuned for that. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't get up that. I mean, the house up north, I don't get too much. Matter of fact, that, you know, I'll go to the city or something, and I'll do a lot of stuff from there just to get out of this environment. Like, I stay at the refinery. If I have video calls or something, I'll say, oh, let me get out of this place and go stay there for the night.
So. Yeah, but you got the dogs there to keep you company. Crazy.
Huh? Well, the dogs, yes, they're sick of me. I'm touching them and talking to them. They're sick of my voice. It's just bad.
I mean, I think we're all feeling that way, no matter who or what we're stuck with at this point.
No, Aaron. Oh, God. Well, I think that, you know, I talk to a lot of doctors, as you know. And David says one more year, but he's such a mope, doom and gloom. And yeah. Another doctor who's Dr. Nicole Sapphire, who's always like, she's actually on the COVID team. She says late spring, that things should be more normal. So let's see.
Okay. I'm going with Dr. Nicole on that one, I think.
Me too. He's delivering babies. He doesn't know what we're talking about.
Right. He's got his head in other places, literally.
And he's institutionalized. He doesn't like to leave the hospital. So he wants no one else to do anything.
Right. Well, I have to ask about this premiere episode, because what a way to come back season 11. Ooh. My first question for you is, why do you think Teresa brought this rumor up at Evan's birthday party of all places?
Oh my God, Eric, listen to me. I speak Teresa, right? So I can explain it. Is the explanation good enough or understandable? I don't know, but I'm going to go for it. So we all know that Teresa sometimes, her brain works a little different than everyone else's. And sometimes there's a delay. Keep that in mind. And it's just the way she tips. It's the way she works. She's a very bright girl. You couldn't survive what she survived if you weren't.
Yeah.
But, you know, Teresa has said herself, her body gets there before her brain does. So Teresa is saying that this is something, you know, she heard, right? A while ago. But she didn't tell her. She didn't see her. And then when Teresa, it pops back into her head, it happens to be when she's seeing her for the first time at this party.
Right.
She's blurting it out. Like, she does this. She does it at reunions sometimes, you know. where did that even come from, Teresa? Where? I knew nothing of this conversation. I knew nothing of this stuff that she's talking about, but she's not a liar. I mean, yeah, she clearly, it was a rumor that she repeated, not that she made up, right?
Yeah.
You know, as a friend or as someone who she's spent time with, Teresa, it was her duty to tell her what she heard. However, not at Evan's party. But the way Teresa ticks, Eric, if it was in the mind at that moment, it's got to go.
It's coming out.
Like, that's what's called no filter.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think tequila may have had a role in that as well.
Well, yeah. You know, they say timing is everything. I believe in that totally. This was not the time. And, you know, she was drinking and it was probably on her mind on the way there because she was seeing her for the first time after she heard it. Can you hold on 1 second, please? I'm sorry.
Yeah, of course.
Fallen man. I don't get this often like that much. Hello? Little Frankie. Yes, buddy. Is it important? Eric, can I have 1 minute with him?
Yeah, of course. For Frankie, anything.
Oh, Frankie. Say
family first. That's New Jersey for you.
Okay, Eric, thank you for being understanding.
Of course.
Okay, go ahead.
We were just saying, I mean, it's always family first with Jersey, right? So that was just kind of perfect.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, yes, it is. Yes, yes.
Well, you were just finishing talking about Teresa. My follow-up to the Teresa situation was, how did you react when she heard about, when you heard about what happened between her and Jackie at Margaret's?
Well, you know, I don't think, I mean, I would have handled it so much different than Jackie.
Yeah.
And the analogy she used sucked so bad. Like, don't follow after you say how smart you are with probably one of the stupidest things I've ever heard anyone say. When there's so many things you could say to Teresa, like 500,000 about this subject, and you go for like her daughter where you're going to lose her. There's a saying, right in mind, wrong in reason.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, but I feel like it applies to this. Like, okay, I understand your point, but you were wrong in the way you did it, Jackie. So now you made yourself wrong. And now you're not going to get your point across at all.
Right, because she totally lost Teresa in that moment.
Lost Teresa in that moment. And I mean, if she wanted to hit Teresa below the belt, if she wanted to hurt her, girl, you went the wrong place. That didn't hurt her. That made her mad, angry. I mean, come on. Oh, I would have said something else. Let's just leave it at that.
Right. Well, I mean, take us back to where you and David were at this point, because, you know, I think some people are thinking, Dolores, where's the ring?
Right. So David and I, as you see, didn't get engaged. We left it by saying, David saying, when I build a $2 million house that you wanted and not get engaged. Well, you know what? Honestly, Eric, I walked away from there saying there's no ring coming. And I knew that. But, you know, between what I thought should be in that relationship should be the next step, what I thought should be, and I could have went for it, didn't happen. But I'm more than okay with it, too.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes things happen for a reason or sometimes things don't happen for a reason. And I'm perfectly fine without it. However, people haven't been able to really understand that part of it yet, how I'm okay with it. So you're going to see things like that. You know, you have to understand when friends have opinions about your relationship, I personally don't like getting mad at friends' opinions of my life because you're my friend, right? I trust you to be a part of my family because I say I don't have friends, I have family. I trust you to care enough about me that you're coming from a good place. So I'm going to let you say what you want. I'm going to listen. Maybe I'll use it. Maybe I won't. But I'm not going to get mad at you for saying something to me. Even when my kids were little, like if somebody said, oh, your son didn't say hello, which never happened, but whatever. Like example, I would say, well, thank you for telling me. I'm going to straighten him out right now.
Right.
You know, another person would have said, oh, sorry, not my son. No, that's not it. No, that's not me. I'm very realistic. I listen to other people. You can always evolve from what somebody else tells you and learn from it. Or you just don't. You don't get offended by what somebody wants to tell you.
Right. Well, and I don't think there's like a shortage of opinions in this group. So you know you're going to hear it.
I know I'm going to hear it. But it gets to the point where how many times do I have to hear it before you understand? If you can't, I can understand your lives. Maybe it's not what I would want, but why can't you understand what I want?
Yeah.
You know, before COVID, Eric, I was living my life for the first time in 50 years. I'm 50 years old. I was on every red carpet. I was sitting with people at events that I only read about, who I thought I'd never meet. Billionaires, politicians, decorators. You know, that was my scene and I f-ing loved it.
Yeah.
I loved my life. I was staying in the city. I got an apartment. You know, the gowns and the lifestyle and the conversations. A man in my life and an engagement would have helped me back. It could help me back from that right now. So there was a reason that I was able to do everything I ever wanted to do. And I was so, I liked having a boyfriend when I stopped for 2 seconds and said, I want to go visit my boyfriend. Or I, you know, before COVID again, I'll take that trip to Italy where I have my own driver when I get there. And I wake up in a castle and I go to every high-end hotel in the Amalfi Coast.
Hell yeah.
Like, is David Principe such a bad gig? No. The guy's in the same spot I left him 2 months ago.
Right.
Low maintenance.
I love that. I mean, it's like, your point is kind of like, timing is everything, right? So things kind of worked out. Even if they didn't work out the way other people were expecting them to, it worked out for you.
It worked out for me. I've grown in this relationship. And you know what's great about it? And you will see, in a lot of relationships, you don't have room to grow.
Yeah. Because
there's an accountability, a degree of accountability in relationships. And guess what? This guy asks nothing from me. Nothing.
Right.
As a matter of fact, he does more for me than I even do for him. And it's not because I wouldn't do it for him. He doesn't need me to do anything for him. He's so good to my family. He's so good to my friends, as you will see. The same people that question our relationship still, on the other hand, think he's a great guy.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm nobody's fool. And that, you know, and that's why my tagline is so great for me. I'm nobody's fool. I see what this is. And I know what it is, and I'm okay with it. If I want more, I would look for more. Maybe not David, but I would look for more. But for now, Eric, I can't have peer pressure make me feel like what I feel is right is wrong.
Yeah. And having other people define what your relationship should be.
People have always tried to define what my relationship should be, including with Frank Catania, back when people questioned the life we were living as a divorced couple, that we were sending mixed messages to our children, that I had no pride that I would be with him and do for him and go on vacations for him. Really? Well, the proof is in the pudding. Look at my life with Frank Catania now. Look at my children. They're happy. They're thriving. I have a doctor and I have a kid on Wall Street and a very peaceful, happy home.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a boyfriend who's more crazy about my ex-husband than he is about me. And I'm too. I swear.
Can we blame him?
I know, Eric, that's going to be the engagement that your guys are going to see.
That's true.
Oh, they were like bonding. Frank lived there. I walked in on something one day. I don't even know what it was. Like, David was hand feeding him sushi. I'm like, his legs are broke. Why?
Well, right. Let's expand on that a little bit so our listeners know what's going on. So Frank had an injury, right, over the summer. Let's talk about that.
You know, you're so good, Eric. You know everything. Okay, so Frank broke both his legs. And it was such a severe injury. Like, his kneecaps detached and wound up in his shins.
What happened?
He was on a construction site because, you know, we have construction company. And he stepped. You ever, like, think there's an extra step and you miss it and it freaking hurts?
Yeah.
Well, Frank did that. He missed one step, 12 inches, and both his knees detached.
Oh my God.
And, you know, well, Frank, you're not supposed to squat 1,000 pounds. It's not what the body is made for, number one. So his tendons, because his muscles are so big and his tendons don't grow with the muscles, it was weakened. So that's why the injury was so severe. David insisted that after surgery, Frank came to his house for care because there was still like a scare of blood clots and, you know, complications. And David put a hospital bed in his living room because the bathroom is on the first floor. And David would shower him every day and wake up through the night to give him medication.
Wow.
And, you know, listen, again, so I didn't get a ring, but I got something else that you'll see. I got some other things that no one should complain about.
Okay.
And, you know, I really have no complaints about this.
Yeah. I mean, that's incredible. There's not a lot of people that can say your current boyfriend would take such good care of your ex when they were so severely injured and in need of that kind of care. I mean, that's wild.
I mean, the guy works 24/7 in his, you know, few hours he gets of sleep a night, and he's never slept a full night in 4 years that I know him. He had the alarm set to give Frank his medication through the night.
Wow.
So, you know, people could say what they want, but again, I'm not that gullible. I'm not with a bad guy. I'm with somebody maybe who could be a little better to me emotionally, but guess what? I'm not the girl that needs that either.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are other things that outweigh other aspects of your relationship? You know, I mean, it seems like all things considered, you're pretty content.
I'd say so. I have all the emotional support I want in my kids. Everything I want there. Frank Catania also. Well, Frank Catania's rough around the edges too. Like, you'll see, I have, you know, a health issue this season. And when I mention it to Frank, because I don't usually talk about my issues, Frank is like, you know, well, maybe you should work out more, you know? So you'll see how my life is.
Well, I can't wait. I mean, one of the things we see you and David discuss, and there's kind of a tense moment between the two of you. He ends up walking away. Can you talk a little bit about that conversation? I think it was brought up that you had some work done and you didn't tell him until the day before. Well, and he kind of felt a type of way about it.
I'm starting to like get all these belly shirts mailed to the house. And he's like opening the packages. And he loves to see what I get in the mail because I get a lot of influencer stuff. And also, so he opens it up and he gets excited. And he sees like one half shirt after another. And he's like, are these back in style? I'm like, yeah, they never went out. Meanwhile, I had booked a tummy tuck and never told him. So my doctor, Joseph Michaels, and I said to him, I said, oh, I'm leaving tomorrow for a tummy tuck. He goes, no, you're not. And meanwhile, I'm packing.
Literally, and I'm leaving tomorrow.
I'm like, no. I'm getting a tummy tuck. He goes, yeah, right. Okay. My girlfriend, who's a nurse, picks me up, drives me to Virginia. We drive through a freaking hurricane. I drove through like it was shut down. It was the first time they opened to see patients after the pandemic. I was driving around tanks in Washington, D.C. I'm like, I got to get down the street.
Oh my
I got a tummy
God.
Tuck. And I was nothing was not a tank, not a tank. I was like, listen, bro, I'm on the house. I'm going to tell you
out of the way.
I didn't care about nothing. Anyway, I come back and I was Eric. I was like literally cut in half. I was a mess.
Yeah.
I was drains hanging out. He had to change my drains every day. He was furious at me. And, you know, again, I'm at the point in my life where no one's going to hold me back from doing anything I don't want to. Now I needed him to take care of me desperately. And he's, you know, he's so good. He does C-sections. He knows how to handle this type of thing.
Right.
And I needed him, but he did not stop talking about it. I think he probably told about 200 people. Thank God he works in three different hospitals because there wasn't a hospital he did not go on and on and on about it all day. On and on and on and on for probably a good month. It was like something was wrong with him. And
well,
he didn't
do you understand why he might have been a little upset with you? Like, do you see it from his perspective a little bit that you didn't tell him you were going in for a major surgery?
I know.
Do you understand a little bit?
Right. And I also understand that I'm not engaged.
That's right.
I understand too.
Right. With no commitment, it's like I don't have to really run everything by you, right? It's kind of like a
You know, nothing's for free. It you know, if I was engaged, I would be more accountable to you to tell you. Listen, and if he didn't want to take care of me when I came back, which he would never do, he didn't have to.
Yeah.
But he did, and I paid for it dearly. He just was out of control. I mean, like, oh my God. But he did say, you know, at the end of the day, to be honest, Eric, him and I have a pact. If something happens in the relationship and you stay, and I've told this to other women, if you stay in a relationship after something happens, it dies right there. A lot of times I say to women, if you go back with your husband after he's been unfaithful, you gotta leave it at the door.
Yeah.
You can't relive it. You can't go back on it. If you're dating somebody, you know, whatever kind of relationship it is, and something happens and you decide to stay, then shut the fuck up.
Right. Move forward. You got to keep going forward. It's the only way to go.
So there's been things in our relationship where I've had to move forward with David and leave things in the past. And I did. And anytime I tried to bring it up, if I wanted to ask questions or bring it, he'd be like, well, that was something we're leaving in the past. Are we moving on or not? Well, now, David, I tell you, are we moving on or not?
Right. It's your call, but I'm going forward. So hope you come with me.
So, you know, you either do or you don't. But you can't relive that all the time. You can't throw it in somebody's face every time you get an argument.
Yeah.
You know, it's done.
Right.
But he had to have that talk after a while. I gave him his time to vent. because I know it was hard on him. David worries very, very much about me. I don't think David even realizes how much he loves me, to be honest with you, Eric. I don't really care how much he realizes, but I think that David cares and loves for me and not a lot more than he realizes. And that was true testament of it.
Yeah. Well, that's a really interesting lens to watch the rest of this season through. So I'm going to keep that in mind.
Yeah, keep that in mind. The guy does care for me. So he didn't follow through with what he should have. Whatever it is, I don't care. At the end of the day, this guy is going to, you know, like my father has said, you know, when you come over on a holiday, all your ex-boyfriends that didn't realize how much they cared are there.
Well, at this point in the season too, or starting off the season, Frankie is living with David so he can focus on his studies. So what's the latest with Frankie and his schooling? How are things going with him?
Oh, Frankie is studies nonstop. Frankie works on Wall Street for an IPO. If I say it wrong, he'll kill me. I don't even know what it is.
Got to call him back.
Yes. Frankie works for that kind of firm on Wall Street. Even on the days he has school, he is going to be a true investment banker. He has a 4.0. He just strives for greatness. He does not stop studying. He didn't leave that attic of David's house until like for 5 months. The chair wore out, the chair ripped.
Wow.
Studying. Yeah. I used to find him sleeping next to the desk. So he has a passion and he has a drive. And Gabrielle passed her board. She's now a doctor. Like, this is how Gabby talks. Now, Frankie's the most proper boy in the world. He doesn't swear. He says his rosaries. He goes to church every day. And he's just so good. Like, he's just so good. And then Gabby, I get a text from Gabby. You could call me doctor now, bitches. Okay. That's the difference. All right. And you'll get to see
that's Gabby hysterical. Oh my God. Well, I do want to talk a little bit about a moment we see in the trailer for this season, and it appears that you are very upset with everyone. So can you tease what that's about a little bit?
I can. And it goes back to the beginning of our conversation where I said, you know, I love my friends. My friends, and that goes for the fans too, Eric. They want to give me an opinion. I'll take it because I care about them. I care about people that watch and support us. And I feel like they're family also. I'll take that opinion, but don't shove it down my throat like I'm a dum-dum. Don't shove it down my throat like I haven't lived 10 lives to each one of you girls. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm in this world a long time and I've been through a lot. Some things that people don't make it out of once, I've made it out of more than once. So I can tell you, like, don't be catty about it. I'll take your opinion. I'll let you say what you want. I'll listen to you. I won't even come back at you and say, yeah, well, look at your marriage. I don't like that.
Right.
I respect it. I respect it. I'll tell you what I don't like about your marriage, but not while you're telling me. I'll tell you that in another conversation. I'm not going to throw things in your face. I'll take it. But you say it to me. That's the thing. Have respect for the fact that I allow you into my life. Mm-hmm. And I love that you care enough about me to give your opinion. But respect me and do it right. And when you do it wrong, you're going to get the wrath of what you say.
Of what you say. Yeah, it looks pretty intense. Last question. I know we have a girls' trip coming up to Lake George. What can you tease about the girls' trip?
Ugh, Lake George is lovely, Eric. It's not the Mafi Coast, but...
Right.
It's not the Jersey Shore.
Eric, right in between, right?
Eric, honey, wait till you get to the Jersey Shore. I'm literally here looking out the window at one of the biggest scenes in Housewife history.
That's right.
Oh, this is what happened in my yard during the Jersey Shore is going to be iconic. Something you haven't seen in years.
Wow.
But let's get back to Lake George. So what about Lake George? I mean, you know, we're not the lake girls. Wait till you see the fucking wardrobe they brought for the lake. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait until you listen, Eric. It was something to see. You'll see.
Oh my God. I can't wait. Well, Dolores, this has been so much fun. Thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, Eric, call me anytime. You're so cute.
Salt Lake City?
Yes.
Oh, so we start part two with this 7-Eleven discussion.
A disaster.
Just, it's so cringy. Like, Mary just really dug herself so much deeper with that conversation. And I don't even understand why she felt the need to say that she's attracted to white or lighter skin men, because who she's attracted to has literally nothing to do with the conversation.
So, Mary, your taste is not for black guys?
No.
You prefer white guys? I mean, you're married to a black guy.
Well, he's white. I mean, not...
He's light, right?
He's lighter. I told her that, but...
That's the issue.
I can't believe you turn that into that, Jen. You don't even know me enough to try to say I'm racist. Like, you don't
I'm
even know me like
that.
That.
I am not.
Yeah, you did. And then why would I say that black guys are standing out in front of the cell?
Is your husband biracial?
He's black.
But
yeah.
Your preference is that you're attracted to white guys.
Lighter guys.
And lighter
guys. Yeah.
With it, what
it's
you're
no,
saying
it's more
about
of a,
darker
like
skin
a
guys.
Preference. It's not that I don't like them and I'm not going to talk to them and they're beneath me. You know, it's not like, ew. It's just more so of a preference of...
It's an attraction. It's a physical preference.
Right. Well, it's just also colorism. And I think that's what everyone was trying to get through to her about. They were like, you can't say things like that as a black person. Like, that does sound like internalized racism, and it sounds like you have issues with your own community based on their skin color. And Mary was eventually came around to being like, sometimes I say things and I don't think about it and I'm not making sense and I love all black people and, you know, I shouldn't have said that. But I'm not sure if that was her just backtracking on what she said because she saw everyone's reaction or if that's how she really feels.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it didn't feel totally genuine.
Right. It's just, whew, it made me uncomfortable. So there's a little bit of conversation, too, about Jen and how hard she went in on Mary and some of the other people on the show. Do you remember early on when the show first started? Jen was, like, super active on social media. She was tweeting left and right, posting all sorts of things on Instagram, liking tweets, retweeting things. She was, like, going hard in the beginning, which I commend her because... You got to get those ratings up. You got to get your fan base established. Again, we've talked about the playbook that maybe Jen was following in terms of housewives, best practices. But there definitely was a time where Jen was maybe getting a little too big for her britches too soon. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I mean, the Christmas tree thing I had not seen. That is terrible.
It's not wrong, but... I didn't love that look on Mary, but...
Oh, is that what she meant?
Yeah, remember the dress she wore to Meredith's birthday was just, like, green and crazy looking?
But I thought she said something like she loves a body that looks like a Christmas tree.
Oh, as in to Robert Sr. or... like, shaped like a tree.
Yeah,
small.
Wrong.
Maybe you're right. I thought it was about the dress she wore to that. That's so interesting. Oh, that's so funny. I think that's what you think about Robert Sr.
I mean, gosh, it really reveals more about me, I guess.
What are we going to do with her?
Okay, question. Uh-huh. Also, a little bit going back to 7-Eleven, which I can't believe Andy didn't ask, but was Mary's first husband white?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I mean, Andy went in on Mary, I thought, at this whole part of the reunion for at least two acts.
Oh my God, she was like... Andy, that's shade, or what'd she say? That's an insult or something.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, that's pretty shady. And he was like, oh, no, I didn't mean it that way. But yeah, that was one question that he didn't ask that could have been really interesting. He asked about the age.
Yeah.
But nothing about the first husband's race.
Also, I just find it's so interesting watching this new franchise come about. They're so starstruck by Andy.
Yeah.
In a way that... You know, you don't see from Beverly Hills, you don't see from OC or Jersey, you know, these are women that have been watching him on TV for many years.
Right. And there is something to be said about Andy's presence. I know you and I have met him a couple of times, and he does have a star quality when he walks into the room. And maybe it is because we've seen him on TV for the last 14, 15 years. But there is something about his presence that's just strong. And you're just like, oh my God.
I'm fascinated by celebrities who have the glow about them. Like people that you are just walking down the street and there's no reason you should look at them, but you do. And you're like, oh, that's a famous person.
Right.
Like, so many times it's happened to me in New York. Like, there's no reason I should pick this person out from a crowd, but I do. And not just because I recognize them, but there's like something about them.
There's an aura. There's an energy around them.
Yes.
Do you think we have that when we walk down the street?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't feel like it lately. That's for sure. I know, right? Okay, well, we have to start breaking down. I do want to come back to Mary in a little bit, but we have to start breaking down this whole Lisa, Heather, Whitney, Meredith situation that basically just falls apart by the end of this part of the reunion.
Oh my gosh, that was crazy the way they were fighting during a break.
Right? I mean, save it for when the cameras are rolling. I mean, luckily they were.
But like, I think I've mentioned this before. It was like Heather Thompson's, I think, last season on Roni, and I was at the reunion. And during a break, Heather and Dorinda started going at it. And everyone was like, stop it, save it for the cameras. But I think it's because they're so seasoned, they know, like, keep the drama for when we're rolling.
Yeah.
No one really knew to stop these ladies.
I know. Well, it was kind of fun to watch. I think even Andy was kind of like, I'm just going to sit back and watch this unfold.
I love how he so disconnects as soon as, you know, they go on their breaks. He just like pulls out the phone and like doesn't stop looking at it, basically.
Right. And there was that cute moment between him and Meredith where Meredith was like, don't you love this, Andy? And he's like, this is my life. For better or worse, this is my life. Well, I do want to, because I do love Heather, I love Whitney, but I do love Lisa. And I want to defend Lisa for 1 second, because I think she did have a point when she was talking about how Whitney and Heather did help further the rumor about Meredith's marriage by talking about it in interview, because Jen brought that to both Whitney and Heather separately on camera for sure. But then continuing to talk about it in interview is only going to help perpetuate this rumor and continue to give it life. And for Lisa to be like, I didn't talk about it, I'm not saying anything, Meredith is my friend, you two did this to her, just so you know, I was kind of on Lisa's side with that.
Mm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Absolutely. I think it's also a season one mistake. Because you're asked about it maybe by a producer, you think, well, it's already out there.
Yeah.
So I'm not bringing it up. But there's also value in not continuing the conversation.
Right, right. Which, you know, it's housewives, so we do want somebody to continue stirring the pot at all times. And I think
right.
Whitney's done a pretty good job of that. And maybe Heather, in her own way, unintentionally, has done that too. But it did feel, I don't know, I was having trouble keeping track of what everyone was upset with Lisa about. Is it because she is still friends with Jen and they feel like she aligned herself with Jen in certain instances and not Meredith? But I'm not sure what they were referring to. In what instance did Lisa have Jen's back but not really Meredith's?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Is it something we don't know? Was it something that happened off camera? Or, you know, it seemed like there might be more to the story than we even know at this point.
I'm hoping we dig into it in part three.
Right. Well, and is Lisa coming back for part three? Because I noticed that cheeky editing in the teaser for part three where they didn't show Lisa at all. So I'm like, she better come back out.
Oh, God. I just know that I was noticing Noah Sampton, who's been on the podcast, one of the executive producers at Bravo, being the one that trying to talk Lisa down.
I know. She was like pissed.
But also distraught.
Yeah. Well, we also have met Noah and we know his sensibility. I can't imagine him face to face with Lisa Barlow in that moment, how upset she is. Like, I'd be scared if I were Noah.
I'm sure it's just like a lot of like, I understand.
Right, right. That's like pretty much what producing is, right? It's just being like, I understand. I hear you.
Yep, validate you.
All right, should we go back to Mary for a second? Because there was so much that came out about her. And to me, I think there's still so much more that we'll never know about her life. The one thing that I was really fascinated by, and I'm glad Angie kept asking about this, was the fact that there was no will or any kind of written confirmation that her grandmother wanted her to marry Robert Sr. I thought it was, like Andy did, something very specific, written down in a will, whatever. But Mary was like, it was something we prayed on for 2 years before it really happened. So like that was really, really fascinating to me.
Logan from Roy, Utah wants to know, is there a will from your grandmother saying that she wanted you to marry her husband? Are there receipts?
No, there's no receipts.
So how was that wish conveyed?
Well, my grandmother told me for herself that she wanted me to take her place. I told her, please don't say things like that. She's like, well, you think you're too good for my place?
She told Robert as well.
No.
She did not?
No.
How did he find out that that was her wish?
We prayed about it for 2 years, and we felt like it was God's will.
Right. So, like, because even in terms of the grandmother saying it verbally, she didn't. All she said is, I want you to be with one of my girls.
Yeah. Right?
It's not what I guess we all thought.
Yeah. Well, and even the way Mary got upset talking about her relationship and her marriage and how he buys her things and what happiness looks like on different people, there was a lot there that felt like maybe Mary should be talking to a therapist about this. You know what I mean? Like, what did you think about that?
Absolutely. No, it made me, it was really sad to hear someone talk about marriage that way, in that, okay, they haven't had sex in years. They sleep in separate beds. And she said, well, you can't be together 24 years without going through something like this. Something like that. And it was just like,
yeah.
No, I think that that's what happens when you're not in love with someone. And I do think it's sad the way that people sort of imprison themselves in marriage and like, well, I made this commitment, so I'm just going to be miserable because I made the commitment. You know, I think that it's just, it's a sad message we keep sending to people.
Well, there was almost like a moment where Mary gave herself an out where she said, I could never date somebody my age.
Right.
They'd have to be older. And everyone's like, well, Andy's like, well, you have a husband. And so in a way, in the back of her mind, does Mary have some kind of plan that this isn't going to be her forever situation? I don't know.
Mm. But yeah. And also, I guess I was a little upset at how Mary was looking at Heather when Heather was talking about how she wants to raise her children.
Mm.
And Heather was like, I want my daughters to date. I want them to sleep with multiple people, you know?
Right.
And I don't think that's crazy, especially, you know, the fact that, you know, Heather was in the situation she was in where she didn't know anything else. She got married so young. It makes sense. I love that message because I do think there's something weird about like needing girls to stay pure till they're married. There's just something so like onery about it. And
it's prehistoric. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, that's not the way of the world anymore.
And it's just like for Mary to sit in judgment of that. It's like, well, Mary, people are in judgment of the way you're living right now because like,
yeah,
you didn't wait for love, you know?
Right. Right. Well, and the thing about Heather too, is if she doesn't say that to her daughters and is open with them about, I want you to live the life that I never could, you know, we see her on the show going home with that guy after the party. We see her being flirtatious and talking about how she wants to get laid. We see her currently flirting with like Alex from Below Deck. You know, if she didn't allow them that space too, she would be a hypocrite because we see her very publicly being like, I want to be open. I want to be sexual. Like I want to do the things I wasn't able to do when I was younger. So if she didn't allow her daughters that too, it wouldn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
So I appreciate that she is owning who she is and she's giving her daughters the space to be who they want to be, no matter what.
Absolutely.
I love Heather.
Me too.
I love that Rihanna just keeps coming up too. Andy's like, well, Rihanna DM'd you, so you're a queen. And she's like, I know, thank you. Summer House?
Yeah.
This will not come as a surprise to you, but I just have to say it. I am loving every single moment of Carl this season.
You know what I find interesting about what Carl's going through right now is that he's not putting a label of, like, he says sobriety, but like he doesn't mean total sobriety,
yeah,
right? Like, cause he has said before, you know, I can have an occasional drink.
Right.
And I just find that interesting, like an interesting approach that I don't think is, that I think could maybe be positive for other people out there, you know, who don't want to put, it's that whole idea of like just one day at a time, you know, because you don't want to overwhelm yourself with the idea that I'll never drink again. And so I think that like this could be, it's not the same as being someone who's going to AA and who's sober, but maybe it's still a very positive thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've seen Carl abuse alcohol in the past, but he's very aware of it and working to improve that. And that's his journey. And if he doesn't feel compelled to identify as, you know, I'm an alcoholic and I need to stop drinking completely, then that's his journey. And I just appreciate that he is trying to regain control of his life in every aspect. It's not just when it comes to the partying, but what else that has an impact on. And that's his health. We see him working out a little bit more. You know, I am so proud of him to get to this place, and just seeing his relationship with his mom in the last episode too. It's just like, he, and you want to talk about glowing and walking by someone who's glowing, he is glowing. Like, he looks so good in all of his interview moments on the show itself. Like, I am just here for season 5, Carl. Oh, I have a prediction.
Okay.
I predict that Lindsay will be on Real Housewives of New York City one day. And only because the sandwich outburst that she had to her boyfriend reminded me so much of something that Sonia Morgan would say.
How many sandwiches have you made for me?
That's so true.
How many sandwiches have I made you? Or have you made me, or whatever? Like, I was just like, oh my God, this is a Sonia Morgan level outburst.
Oh my God, it's so funny. God, what outburst am I thinking of specifically from Sonia that it sounds like, you bitches are gonna, it like was in Mexico, and like they had been getting on to her, and she, oh, I'm sick of being nice. You bitches are gonna see me not being nice. It was like something like that. But it's like, yeah, that same high pitchness, the same like silliness behind the argument. Very funny.
Right. Yeah, Lindsay, I think, is one of the more underrated reality TV stars of our time, just because she just has these things that she gets upset about that you're not really following. It's almost like a Teresa moment where you're like, what is she upset about? And she just goes off and you're trying to figure out what she's upset about, but just watching her go through the process is very entertaining.
Yeah. I will say, with this whole Luke and Hannah situation, I do think it's a case of when someone tells you who they are, believe them. And even though Luke's actions toward Hannah were confusing, and in no way putting the responsibility on her, I'm just saying that he told her he was damaged.
Yeah.
He told her he wasn't ready for a relationship. And I think it's absolutely very confusing when someone is doing something differently and when they're at the same time still showering you with all this affection and physical attention. But at the same time, that's why it's so important to take people at their word, because it's like they're giving themselves, you know, this hint, like, this isn't going to go well, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a little stop sign.
I've always been honest with Hannah. I don't want to hurt you.
You're good. Don't worry.
I clearly am a mess because of my past. It's going to take me time to get over that. I'm not ready for
it. And I know that.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of the things we've seen Luke say and do on this show have painted the picture of he is not in a place to be in a relationship. He does care about Hannah, all of that. The things we don't know are the things that he said to her behind closed doors when the cameras aren't rolling. There is a side to their relationship none of us will ever see. And I think that is what Hannah is referencing throughout a lot of this confrontation with Luke.
Yeah.
But so maybe he is. Maybe he is, you know, the, what do they say, the Justin Bobby? I've seen that meme that's floating around. So maybe he is playing her and Sierra or whatever. But, and there are things that he's been saying that we don't know. But maybe he has been very upfront the whole time with Hannah. And she just isn't seeing that or refuses to see that. I don't know. It's tough.
I will say, if I was Sierra, though, I would absolutely be like, never mind. Like, you're attractive, but you clearly have, you know, even if you're all better now. Like, I just wouldn't want to get involved in that. And I do think there's something so unattractive about seeing a guy yell at a girl, especially when she's not your girlfriend.
Yeah.
And the way that at the end he was getting so frustrated and like yelling at Hannah, it's just like, I would be very done with that situation.
Well, my question for you is, do you think Sierra feels obligated to be on Hannah's side or the girl's side? She's known Luke for such a long time that she must have a hint of his ways and kind of know that he's a bit of a player, fuck boy, whatever you want to call it. And in this moment, now that she's in this house and she's going to be there for a while, does she feel like she needs to align herself with Hannah and everyone because it wouldn't be a good look for her to defend Luke? Or do you think she genuinely is starting to see Luke perhaps for who he really is?
I think that there's this interesting thing happening with women right now. And, you know, for a bit, but it's like we really are learning from history. And I think oftentimes when you are feeling this instinct that you should blame the girl or get upset with the girl, I think like women in general are taking more of a pause. Like, I've just noticed this in my own life and like friends and things like that. And just realizing it's no longer okay to be like, oh, well, Hannah must be crazy. It's like, no, let me take a pause here. Maybe he's dismissing their relationship because why else is she so upset, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that it's probably coming, even if it's not from a sincere place, it's coming from a mindful place, a place that's learning from history.
Right. That is so interesting. And the whole time you were saying that, in my mind, and you're going to laugh, I was thinking, so it used to be the boy is mine, right? It used to be like Brandy and Monica fighting over this guy against each other. But now it's Beautiful Liar. It's Beyonce and Shakira coming together, united against the man who wronged them. So we are putting The Boy Is Mine to rest, a classic, but we're putting that to rest. And we are now in the Beautiful Liar era of, of women supporting women. And I totally hear that. I mean, it does make sense. And I think that is probably more so where Sierra is at this point. She is starting to see, okay, maybe what I had with Luke was special and we had a great time and there's chemistry and whatever, but seeing how he's treating Hannah, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to get involved in that kind of situation. So I respect that. I'll always bring it back to Brandy and Shakira and Beyonce. So we're not going to recap Lanta today because obviously we know next week is going to be the moment we've all been waiting for. But Megan, I know you spoke to Drew Sidora about the dungeon party. So what can you tease about next week?
Right. So that interview is also going to come out next week. What I can say is that it's not necessarily about what you see. It's about who wants to air everyone else's dirty laundry.
Ooh.
And I think that is nuts and I can't wait for it.
Oh my God, I can't wait. We are going to have to dedicate like 30 minutes just to Atlanta next week.
Absolutely.
Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, what was your rose?
So my rose is from Real Housewives of Dallas. It's Deandra revealing that she was a groupie and that she had sex with the late bassist for The Who. She's so cool, you know?
She is. You know, Deandra has really, really grown on me over these past 5 seasons, I have to say.
Love her. What was your rose?
Okay, so my rose, I have 2. The first one is, I spoke with Teresa earlier this week. I can't say why just yet, but I wanted to share that she told me Cher is her idol. And that just made me love Teresa even more than I already do. And my second rose is Carl's mom's wedding that they attended on Summer House virtually last week. I know I couldn't say it last week because you had Hannah and Paige here, but I wanted to just say I loved that moment. I thought it was so sweet that they got to celebrate in their own quarantine way. And I'm just so happy for Carl's mom.
So cute.
What was your thorn?
Oh my gosh. It was from Summer House this week. And it was Paige talking about how Instagram is her job, which is all fine. But then she was like, kind of telling her story and was like, you know, I lived with my parents in college. And then, you know, I became responsible for myself. And it was scary, but I have to say it feels good. And I was like, wait, what? Like, so you just did what every single person does when they graduate from college.
My thorn is from Real Housewives of Atlanta, and it is Cynthia packing up leftovers from South Carolina to bring back to her mom and Mike. It was such an auntie move, as Portia said. And like, isn't that food going to spoil on the way back? Like, what is she doing?
I feel like I need to get some. And I'm taking stuff to Mike, and I'm taking some skins to my mom. Not the mama, too.
Yeah. No, Cynthia, what are you doing?
Now, I know damn well Auntie Cynthia is not packing up a doggy bag for Mike.
How are you going to be dressed like a niece? Acting like an auntie packing up the food.
Auntie T. You definitely T.T.
Girl, we all the way out of town. You cannot be packing up food for your man while we out of town. That is so auntie.
I mean, I guess it's good if you're going to roast a whole pig, make sure you eat all the parts. But at the same time, like, oh, Cynthia, can't you pick up some pork on the way home?
Right. I mean, come on. Like, let the crew have some. Maybe donate the leftover pork to a shelter in South Carolina. I don't know. But just, it was just so funny to see her being like, I'm just going to take some of this. Like, what?
We're going to be back next week with an all-new episode with Real Housewife of Atlanta's Drew Sidora talking about the bachelorette party.
Welcome to the dungeon. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Yeah. Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.